This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2140. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded May 26th, Antarctica, Australia, Bangladesh, Canada, China, Colombia, Cuba, France, Indonesia, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, Myanmar, New Zealand, North America, Oklahoma, Peru, Romania, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Scotland, Solomon Islands, Tibet, Ukraine, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Vietnam, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, LRA 36 Antarctica was missing on Wednesday, May 25th, but it was on the air Saturday, May 21st, between 1510 and 1647, as I heard it via remote in Argentina, and so did Gary Pence in Dallas. It's very difficult to pick up direct in North America, but he also could detect it via remote receiver at Half Moon Bay, California, provided by KFS. That is on 15475.98 kHz, reduced carrier upper sideband. Jen of Calling All Radio Nuts says she's doing two other shows the last weekend in May. UT Saturday, May 28th from 1830 to 2030, or maybe 2130. A Memorial Day show, Troops in Remembrance. All on 5035 USB, Unique Radio Australia, low power, and a live digital stream, which you can reach via that website, uniqueradio.biz. Click on the Gen Listen 64 button. Then on UT Sunday, May 29th, the Summer Show and Bash. That's between 18 and 21 UT. Mike Cooper sends an article titled Rebuilding Australia's Media Voice in the South Pacific. It appeared in The Strategist, Journal of the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. That's aspistrategist.org.au. Graham Dobell writes, in the South Pacific, Radio Australia and the International TV Service still do great work, but they have only a third of the budget they enjoyed a decade ago. Spending on the ABC as our Indo-Pacific media voice has been cut by two-thirds. In 2014, the Abbott government hacked into the ABC by killing funding for international television, a sad, bad, and dumb decision that also decimated Radio Australia. Just before the election campaign, a parliament committee called, among other things, for reinvigorating Radio Australia, which is well-regarded in the region, to boost its digital appeal. Unnecessarily, three Asian countries are fighting over 4750. Zaharias Liangas in Greece reports about Bangladesh via remote receiver on May 19th. He was hearing it at 1540 with a nearly local signal there, mixing English words with a Hindi pop song. It was quite overloaded and a bit garbled, and a 1 kHz tone after 1544. Ron Harrod recalls that about 3 years ago, Bangladesh dropped their external service on higher frequencies and put that programming on what had been the home service frequency, the only remaining shortwave outlet, 4750. But possibly it's been temporarily changed again, needs further monitoring. Violent storms in Ontario and Quebec on Saturday, May 21st, among other things, knocked CHU off the air. Many of us were checking. Time signals no longer to be heard on any of their three frequencies, but at times there would be an unmodulated carrier. That is 3330, 7850, and 14670. And it still had not been restored by May 25th. We're wondering if it's simply a power outage or if there was some serious damage to the station. The system status page on their website acknowledges they have been offline since 2000 UT, May 21st. Another page has this rather indefinite explanation. Due to the recent severe weather event in the Ottawa-Gatineau area, the CHU time signal for shortwave radio has been impacted and is currently unavailable. We are working to restore the service as quickly as possible. Thank you for your patience. Meanwhile, I assume Canadian time seekers have permission to monitor WWV. Several lower Chinese shortwave frequencies have been missing lately. Could just be for maintenance. Ron Howard in California says on May 25th, 6165 was clear. Checking from 1350 UT, no signal from CNR6. No carrier at all on the frequency. He was hoping to get Tazin Radio in Myanmar instead, with CNR6 silent. The next day, May 26th, from TuneIn at 12:10 until 13:30. 6165 had a strong open carrier with no audio. That might have been the CNR6 transmitter. No other station could be heard. After 13:30, the frequency was completely clear. Up on Isle Mar State Beach, California, near Monterrey, Ron Howard also reports about the Colombian or Venezuelan on 4940, that religious station. He was listening May 26 from 0522. They often have preaching in English with simultaneous translation into Spanish, but at this time it was a program all in English, and it was not preaching. Instead, it was informational about Africa, mentioning Nigeria, but undoubtedly religious in nature. At 0530, they said, until next time, and back into Spanish. By 0545, anyway, it was not very readable. We wonder if the English segment is on a regular schedule. Something's always wrong at Radio Cuba, not only affecting Radio Propaganda Cuba. May 25th at 0223, I found that Radio Progreso was off. 4765. Its normal span is from midnight 30 until 0400. Radio Du Monde in Belgium reports that 3 months after the BBC started broadcasting into Russia, Radio France International is finally getting into Moscow. 1500 to 2030 UT, in French only, of course, on 15230. The trouble is, as Ricky Long in Alberta says, there is no evidence of this broadcast actually being in service. I checked remote-controlled receivers in Europe, and it was not to be heard. Ron Howard in California says May 21st was a very good day, with both frequencies of Voice of Indonesia being heard, 3325 via Palangkaraya, news in English at 1301, and heard further into the hour. It was fairly readable, clearly fixed their former long-standing problem of low modulation to no modulation. And the other frequency, 4749.95, via Chimangas, Jakarta, mixing with CNR1 China before 1300, and also had a decent signal from Bangladesh, as mentioned earlier, on exactly 4750, an English closing ID at 1256. May 22nd was another good day for 3325, but an anomaly on 4750, which had something there, but not in parallel. Algeria has reactivated longwave 252 kHz, once again causing interference back and forth with Ireland on the same frequency. Via BCDX, Ben Dawson in Washington comments about the situation. It would be simpler for the Irish facility to change frequency than the Algerian one, since the latter is, if I remember, a directional array, while Ireland's is a simple non-directional. Although there are certainly vacant longwave frequencies, the allocation plan still contains these, and so changing frequency would have to be carefully analyzed and most likely coordinated in some way, with existing, albeit unused, allocation holders, given the engineering standards contained in the agreement. Or it may be the other Algerian longwave, which is directional, but even for a non-directional, changing frequency is not a trivial task. NHK World Radio Japan is down to only two English broadcasts, neither of them intended for North America. But Rick Barton in Arizona says he's having good results with the 14UT transmission direct from Japan on 11815. Excellent reception, he says, at least on May 23rd. Mexico's last shortwave station, 6185, Radio Educación, has been missing. Rick Barton in Arizona last reported it on May 15th. Ron Howard says he has not been hearing it since at least May 17th. Nor have many of us, including myself, checking for it. It used to be running all night. Dave Zanto in Wisconsin says, let's hope we have not seen another shortwave broadcaster bite the dust, and it's just a transmitter fault or antenna damage that will be repaired. On behalf of American listeners, I sent them a note saying, we enjoy your eclectic music very much and hope you'll be back. Then Manuel Mendez in Spain tells us, my friend and DXer Julian Santiago Diaz de Bonilla from Ciudad de Mexico informed me that Radio Educación transmitter suffered a breakdown and they will be waiting for a spare part to put it back into operation. Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, reports there's an additional morning broadcast of Mizima Radio, clandestine for Myanmar. It's via Tamsui site in Taiwan, at 03 to 04 UT on 17755 in Burmese, and adding another half hour until 0430. The original evening broadcast is 1130 to 13 UT on 17730 via UAE. More to last week's news that Radio New Zealand Pacific will be getting a new shortwave transmitter. Mick Delmage heard this report about it from RNZ itself on the Pacific Waves program May 21st.
Circling back to Budget 2022, the New Zealand government has committed $4.4 million to support the purchase of a new AM transmitter for RNZ Pacific. It's part of the government's move to substantially increase the amount of funding for public media to ensure New Zealanders can continue to access quality local content and trusted news. A major part of this includes $327 million that's been allocated for a new public media entity merging TVNZ and RNZ, which includes RNZ Pacific. Susana Suisuiki has the details.
Broadcasting Minister Chris Farfoy says RNZ Pacific's shortwave transmitter is critical for providing the most trusted and comprehensive news service for Pacific peoples in New Zealand and across the Pacific region. RNZ Pacific has an estimated audience of over 1 million listeners, and its AM signal covers all of the Pacific Islands and can sometimes be heard as far away as Japan, North America, the Middle East, and Europe. RNZ's CEO Paul Thompson says the funding for the new transmitter underlines the importance of providing trusted news across the region, especially during tumultuous times. Mr. Thompson says RNZ Pacific will also have a crucial role in the new media entity.
The timing of this is really important because, you know, the Pacific is unsettled at the moment geopolitically, and it's not a coincidence that in the same budget in which the minister delivered increased funding for public media as a whole, budget also included this investment for RNZ Pacific. So I think RNZ Pacific has a really important role in the new entity, both in terms of connecting with Pacific people in New Zealand, but also doing that vital job of providing trusted content right throughout the region.
RNZ Pacific's technical specialist Adrian Sainsbury says RNZ Pacific is absolutely delighted with a major funding injection for RNZ Pacific's transmission to the Pacific region.
We've been asking for this for many years now, to update our transmission system, because as time goes by, we're still actually relying on a 1980s transmitter as a backup in case our current main one falls over for any technical reason. So it's really been a major injection for us to pretty well ensure our future for, I reckon, for many years to come.
RNZ Pacific manager Moira Tulei Patela says the investment shows the government recognises the significance of RNZ Pacific in the region.
This new transmitter will just ensure that we will still be able to continue our work into the Pacific, informing our audiences out in the region, which is, you know, what RNZ Pacific does. It also means that services like Cyclone Watch Service, which is currently operating at the moment with Cyclone Gina near Vanuatu, we can still do those regular weather updates, and that will also happen in the future as well. That's really important lifeline information that RNZ Pacific provides.
Once the new transmitter is up and running, it will enable RNZ Pacific to continue providing broadcasting services to Aotearoa and the region for the next 20 years.
Walt Salmaniv in British Columbia says, I would love to see a return to a second transmitter, especially the DRM service, which used to be very well heard on the West Coast during our local evenings. One of my favorite stations to listen to in the evenings. Brian Clark in New Zealand replies, some feedback from technical manager Adrian Sainsbury, it improves the analog transmission so it can be maintained 24/7. Currently, when in DRM mode, there is no AM service. It will be possible to run simultaneous DRM and AM frequencies. The media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio 2140. A non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Thanks very much for financial support from Sandip Nambiar, EI7IJV in Ireland, who sent a contribution via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute in U.S. dollars on a U.S. bank or money order to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Like reported last week, Antichrist Pirate Station YHWH continues to be active almost every night on 7475 AM. Frequently reported by Rick Martin in Arizona, Walt Salmaniv in BC, Eric Fetterswalp in Washington State, and using remotes further west, John the VORW. Times vary, but from as early as 0322 to as late as 0515. And some of the material appears to be new, say some of those who have listened to him a lot. So sometimes during the transmission, the signal level suddenly increases as if he is turning up the power. And Ron Howard also heard him with his usual anti-Catholic diatribe, and he gives the time as Pacific Standard. And finally, as of 0405 UT on May 26th, Walt Sovenev says there was no sign of him on 7475. John Perry in Indiana is surprised that, as much as he broadcasts, that the FCC has not pinpointed him down to its exact location. Big news in the long-wave beacon scene of Oklahoma. In Stillwater, SW255 kHz is back. I heard it May 25th at 0616, and also in the daytime. It had last been heard almost 11 months ago. However, on the same date, the usually reliable RG in Oklahoma City was missing from 350 kHz. Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil reports a couple of Peruvians on 5025 Radio Quijabamba, May 18th at 2230 with an ID, and on 4752 Radio Huanta dos Mil, May 21st at 2233. About Romania on longwave, Tomas VK2CCC in Sydney, Australia reports to the MWDX IO group, I've been monitoring 153 kHz for a couple of months. Most mornings the carrier is clearly audible, and occasionally every few weeks the audio can be heard as well. Can't tell if it was the Antena Satellor or Radio Romania Actualitatea program. Remy Frias replies, 153 always carries Antena Satellor. However, in recent weeks that whole network has occasionally relayed Radio Romania Actualitatea due to the events, I suppose, in neighboring Ukraine. News bulletins are also identical on the two networks. Via one remote receiver in Russia, Izhevsk, Zaharis Lyangas and I are hearing the Mayak program on a strange frequency, 78 kHz, long wave. Of course, that's not where you would expect to hear any broadcasters. Stephen Luce says he saw a report a few years ago that it was picking up RF from an old Soviet-era wired radio distribution system that amazingly was still in operation. Patrick Robich in Austria adds, this is a traditional line transmitter wire radio frequency in Russia. It looks like this type of broadcasting is still on in some cities. Dmitry Mezin in Kazan replies, that's easy. 78 kHz is the Mayak subcarrier in Russian cable radio networks that still remain operational in some cities. The cable radio in my city is completely off since 2012 due to economical non-efficiency. Kai Ludwig in Germany replies, cute, how convenient to find this remote receiver already tuned to 78 kHz. I wonder why I did not have the idea to check if somewhere Radio Tochka bleed-out could still be detected. Yes, this is the question. Is it being radiated and picked up by an antenna, or is it actually coming into the receiver through the power line? More, there is a story in Rusty X from onair.ru headlined, the Vice Speaker of the Duma of Irkutsk, Yuri Korenev, proposed the option of maintaining a wired radio in that city. The operator was going bankrupt and it was to be closed. Many representatives of the younger generation, including those holding high positions in the mayor's office, do not understand how important wired radio is for older people. There are about 160,000 pensioners in our city, of whom 5,500 subscribed. A month ago there were 6,200. Irkutsk wired radio is not profitable, but it is socially important, part of our urban culture. Harley Forsyth in Wisconsin reports to the Ontario DX Association, Arabic on 11745, May 23rd, before and after 01UT. Apparently Radio Al-Azam in Saudi Arabia, although not supposedly scheduled at this time. John Hudak, VE3CXB, replies, I've also picked up this station a number of times over the last few months, all before 0300 UT. Scotland, non. Tony Curry tells me that Radio 6 International is adding weekly Australian transmissions in partnership with Unique Radio. be the shortwave transmitter in New South Wales with 200 watts on 5035 USB. The times are UT Sundays at 07 to 08, the Kenny Tosh Revival Show. Then Tuesdays at 09, the Lively Lounge with Tony Curry. At 10:00, Eric White's Record Box. At 11, the David Belcher Soul Show. And at 12, the Kenny Tosh Revival Show. And one more broadcast repeating the last program, Wednesdays at 0800. Presumably also on the Unique Radio webcast, uniqueradio.biz, or at radio6.com. Ron Howard in California reports on SIBC, Solomon Islands, 5020. May 20th with an extended broadcast of non-stop island songs from 1220 to 1302 with no announcers and no break at top of hour. Seemingly not a Wantok FM relay, it was still going at 1325. But on May 25th, they played nice island songs till cut off about 1245 UT. Some Chinese stations on 4 MHz missing, primarily Tibet, it seems, reported by Joe Jacob in India, 4905, 4920, maybe off for maintenance, but 4800 outside Tibet was still being heard at 1530, May 23rd. Ivo Ivanov says also missing were 6025, 6130, and 7255. Ron Howard replies, last year they were also off the air for annual maintenance refurbishing work. It seems that's what's happening again now. However, that was in April of last year rather than May. Further monitoring by Wolfgang Büschel, May 23rd of this year at 2315 to 2340. The number one Lhasa site at Baiding was off the air for annual maintenance, presumably, but the number two Lhasa site, a different location, was still on the air on 7240, 7255, and 7385. On May 24th at midnight 25, however, number two site was off the air from 7240 and 7450, also off 9490 and 9580. Following report from Lenta.ru via Rusty X. In Ukraine, there had been a radio station called Ruskoye Radio, Russian Radio, but for some reason, they decided to change its name to Bayraktar Radio, B-A-Y-R-A-K-T-A-R. This official station in Kiev is named for a model of a Turkish attack unmanned aerial vehicle widely used by Ukrainian troops. Prompted by a wave scan feature several months ago, we've had quite a discussion recently in the World of Radio IO group about bird calls on shortwave radio. Many listeners recall many other stations which have used bird calls other than the ones mentioned on the Wavescan program. For example, Richard Langley says BBC Radio 4 airs a tweet of the day, weekdays at 5:58, Greenwich time or summertime. On Sundays, it's 3 hours later. It began in May 2013. The Male Cuckoo, with the host at the time, David Attenborough. Episodes back to the original one are available on the BBC website. Major news concerning BBC erupted May 26th. In the British GS Club, Chris Greenway says in a briefing to staff, the Director General mentioned an end to Longwave, possibly as soon as next year. There will also be an end to split programming on Radio 4, Longwave versus DAB. 5 Live will leave Medium Wave, but not until 2027. Also cuts to local radio and announcements about TV, such as merging BBC News and BBC World News channels. From the complete text via Mike Barraclough, there's a portion concerning the World Service. UK license fee funding for World Service, which has been around 254 megapounds in recent years, is now running at over 290, including World News, an unsustainable level following license fee settlement. We will initially reduce license fee spending on the World Service by around 30 megapounds by the start of 2023, while protecting the full breadth of languages. Our strategic review will identify the right longer-term model for a digital-first World Service. Via Richard Lemke on WRMI-FB, regular listeners note that our frequency 9455 is off the air. We have some transmission line problems, and our engineers are working to get it back on as soon as possible. This affects a couple of World of Radio broadcasts, UT Tuesday and Thursday at midnight 30, but it so happens we're also on another frequency, which is still active, 9395. You may wonder how U.S. shortwave stations can operate outside the official shortwave broadcast bands, such as WBCQ Radio Angela on 5130. Alan Holder, G4ZVH, explains, a few years back, the FCC changed rules to allow international broadcasters to transmit on HF outside the allocated frequency bands, provided they did not cause interference to any fixed service traffic. If a complaint was received, the broadcaster had to cease operation and change to another frequency. In every case, approval has to be obtained from the FCC before frequency could be used. The band operations started at the time when the HF broadcast bands were seriously overcrowded, especially in Europe. As we've noted, WEWN is down to only one frequency, Spanish in the daytime on 12050. Jean-Michel Aubier in France forwards a reply he got from Glenn Tapley at WEWN. Due to supply issues and lack of parts, we are presently unable to broadcast our English programming. Once the parts arrive, we will perform the necessary maintenance and resume our English transmissions. By the way, it seems the Mother Angelicans consider themselves more Catholic than the Pope. Kai Ludwig refers us to a National Catholic Reporter story of last September 21st by Christopher White. Pope Francis issues thinly veiled criticism of EWTN. He said the church does not deserve attacks such as those regularly made by the station. They are the work of the devil. EWTN has become known for its regular antagonistic coverage of Pope Francis and partisan political focus. We missed it, but Carl Forth in IRCA says WGN 720 in Chicago marked its 100th anniversary on May 19th. It began broadcasting in 1922. There's a story in the Chicago Tribune. WGN-TV broadcast a one-hour program on the 100th anniversary of the radio station, May 19th, and that will be on the WGN site after the broadcast. Rusty X tells us about two ethnic Russian stations in Chicago. One is on 1590 Radio Narodnaya Volna, or NVC Radio. It's been on the air since 2003, but listed by NRC as Korean WCGO in Evanston. And the other one is Radio Resonance, 1330 and 95.9 FM. That's WKTA in Evanston, listed as brokered ethnic, so apparently not totally Russian. Yet Radio Resonance says it's the oldest Russian language station in North America, on the air since 1979. Although we reported last week that Radio Vanuatu was back on the air May 19th, including the third harmonic 11835, it was gone again as of May 20th and still not heard as of May 26th on any of their known frequencies. As checked by Ron Howard, including the formerly used 2485. For many years, the Voice of Vietnam had been off frequency from 12020 around 12017 to 12019. But May 16th at 10:40, Wolfgang Büchel found them on correct 12020, that hour in Indonesian, and a good idea, too, since there is a high-speed radio teletype signal above and below 12017. The propagation outlook from SWPC, geomagnetic field expected to be active with ANK indices of 14 and 4 on June 11th, 13th, and 16th to 18th. Solar flux declining from 150 May 27th to 115 June 5th and 6th, but up to 175 by June 14th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2140 with a standard disclaimer.